You're listening to The Blind Spot, a podcast from Thomas Pocklington Trust.
Hi, and welcome to The Blind Spot, the podcast from Thomas Pocklington Trust. My name's Tom Jones. I'm a campaigns officer here at the Trust, and I'm joined today by Julie Stevens, one of the Sight Loss Council volunteers. Hi, Julie. How are you?
Hi, Tom. I'm very well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Good, good. Why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about what you do with the Sight Loss Council?
I'm a member of the Gloucestershire Sight Loss Council, and one of the areas I'm helping with is the stagecoach buses. So that involves regular meetings with them, and we're just trying to look at how we can work with them to enhance the experience for visually impaired people. And we really have come a long way. There's still room for improvement. It's work in progress, but we have come a long, long way, and I'm really pleased.
Fantastic. So first off, what's your most common journey on a bus, and what do you mostly use buses for? I mean, transport, obviously, but...
Yeah, quite. I tend to use the buses maybe 3 or 4 times a week. Sometimes I will walk into town and catch the bus out, or other times I will actually catch the bus in and out. So it just very much depends on timing and weather and all that sort of thing. So mainly is to go in and out of town. I have a variety of clubs that I'm a member of, but I do also use the buses to go to further destinations, but they're more ad hoc. So maybe just a few times a year I may sort of go to Stroud or up to Brockworth, something like that. But the main journey really is into and out of town.
That's fantastic. And are you blind or partially sighted?
I'm totally blind, and I work with a guide dog, Heidi. Yeah.
Okay, and being blind, what are some of the problems that you can face around travel on buses?
Well, there's three, really. The main one that I have difficulty with is actually locating a seat. My guide dog isn't trained to find an empty seat. And in the past, I have actually asked the bus driver to help me find a seat. But we still need to work on that, because it's very much a case of, well, the disabled seat's free, or first on the left is free, which is great. It's, you know, it's a help. But of course, I don't know if first on the left, those seats are facing inwards, or whether they're facing backwards or frontwards. So there really is still room for a little bit of improvement then. So,
And you've done a lot of work with stagecoach, haven't you, to get AV announcements. How did that work come about?
So Stagecoach actually approached us to work with them, and although they set up the audio announcements, what we did is, once they were actually up and running, we travelled on the buses to actually give some feedback on areas of improvement. So one that I came up with is, when you press the button to stop the bus, there was a visual announcement. You could see it said stop, but the bell that rang was very, very quiet. So that was something that they went back to their engineers on and up that. So that really helped. So we're just having regular ongoing meetings with them, really. And it's not just about the audio announcements. There's other areas as well.
To understand how important AV announcements can be for blind and partially sighted travellers, why don't you walk us through an average bus journey, one of those that you might take into town without AV announcements, and why don't you then walk us through that same journey with AV announcements, and just show us what impact they can have on your journey?
Okay. Getting on a bus without the audio announcements is quite stressful. Become quite anxious, really, because you don't know where you are. Because they're regular bus journeys, I try to sort of locate different landmarks. So there may be a bend in the road, or a hump, or a roundabout, and that gives you sort of some indication of where you are, but then you don't know exactly if, when you've got off the bus, you're in the right place. So it's very much hit and miss, and I have asked the bus driver to, you know, let me know when we're at the right bus stop, but I, in the past, and this is very much in the past, it's been a case of, well, if I remember, which isn't too helpful. So having the audio announcements, you know exactly where you are. They're absolutely fantastic, There's bus stops that I never knew existed, roads I didn't know existed. You know exactly where you are. It takes all the stress out of the journey. And sometimes because I've got a guide dog, people want to talk to you. And with the audio announcements, you can relax. It doesn't matter. But obviously without them, you have to concentrate. And when just 1 second lapse in concentration, you just don't know where you are.
That's fantastic. And do you have any advice for people who might want to get started on a campaign to have AV announcements installed on the bus routes they use?
It is contact Stagecoach, really, or they can contact, obviously, the Gloucestershire Sight Loss Council, and we can support them there. But it's very much, you know, just contact Stagecoach and keep on, really, at them to see when they're going to be. I know we've got 21, I believe, in Gloucester at the moment with the audio announcements, but that's obviously a far cry compared to how many buses there are. But I do understand that when buses are replaced, they will be replaced with the audio announcements. And we've got to remember that they've got a budget to keep to anyway, so there's only so much we can do.
See, brilliant. Well, Julie, thanks very much for your time.
You're welcome, Tom. Nice to speak to you.
Hi, welcome back to the Blind Spot, the Thomas Pocklington Trust podcast. So earlier we spoke to Julie, a Sight Loss Council volunteer, and she spoke about the problems blind and partially sighted passengers can face. Now we're going to the other side of the ticket window and we're talking to Natasha Hall from Stagecoach West. Natasha, hi, how are you?
Hi, yes, I'm good. Thanks, Tom. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much for coming on. Why don't you start by just telling us what you do at Stagecoach?
My name is Natasha Hall and I'm the Marketing and Communications Manager. So we run local buses around Gloucestershire, Bristol, Swindon and Oxfordshire. So I essentially deal with the customer information, roadside, what the buses look like and just, you know, making sure that our customers have a great journey and obviously encouraging more people to travel with us as well.
Hey, brilliant. So why don't you kick us off by telling us how audiovisual announcements actually work?
The announcements on bus, they essentially use mobile data, so like GPS information, so they can tell where the bus is exactly on the route. So that then feeds into a speaker system, which uses audio announcements and also a display, which is on the bus, and that will tell people exactly where the bus is verbally, which obviously helps for people knowing where they are, how close they are to that stop and when exactly to get off as well.
That's brilliant. And are you looking at rolling out AV announcements at stops and stations or are they just on buses?
So unfortunately at the moment it's just on our newest buses. So it tends to vary depending on which area you're in, but particularly in Gloucestershire, our bus stations and the roadside as well is managed by our local authority. So it's not something we're aware of that they're rolling out yet, but it's definitely something that we'd love to see.
Do you think that AV announcements are a standalone solution to accessibility, or are there other things that operators and local authorities can implement?
I definitely don't think they're a standalone solution. I think you know, they help a lot, but I think it's important that as well as having the AV, we really need to keep up those conversations with the different user groups. And I know personally, we found it really helpful speaking to the sight loss team in Gloucestershire and just keeping up the conversation of, you know, what can we do to help make it easier and build people's confidence. So I think keeping up the regular communication and making sure that you then follow that up with training for the drivers that are out on the road as well. And I think that alongside the AV announcements definitely help.
Just touching on that training, could you give us a little bit more insight on how drivers can help blind or partially sighted passengers if they don't have audiovisual announcements on their bus?
Yeah, of course. So we always encourage customers to, you know, speak to the driver. And if they are worried about knowing exactly where to get off, then let the driver know which stop you want to get off at. And then they can always, you know, give you the thumbs up or give you a shout as soon as the stop's coming up. And at least that helps to get rid of some of that anxiety of, you know, worrying that you're going to miss that stop. And even for things like trying to find out where the nearest seat is, if you'd rather they didn't take you to the seat, they can just give you a verbal explanation of where exactly the next available seat is. So there are definitely different ways they can help. We've even got little cards that you can show to the driver just to explain that, you know, you might need a bit of assistance with scanning your pass or something.
Right, that's fantastic. You also mentioned the work you've done with the Sight Loss Council. What work have you done to overcome kind of accessibility barriers with the
Sight Loss Council, and how did that come about?
I mean, we've been doing it for a few years now, and you know, I can't even remember how conversations got started. But really, we just speak to the different members, and it's an opportunity for them to sort of highlight any issues they've faced, even down to the specifics of, you know, a bus stop that's not being used at the moment and how it would be helpful for someone to communicate it. But we've used it for testing AV announcements. So we actually had our first audiovisual bus in Cheltenham last year. So some of the Sight Loss Council members were actually kind enough to come out and test it for us and give us a bit of feedback on how we list the bus stops and descriptions that would be more helpful for them. So things like that were obviously really great, and it makes sure that we get it right first time. And then we recently, just in the last month or so, held a Meet the Bus event in partnership with them. So we had a couple of buses in the bus station, and we were able to just invite them all down and give them a chance to get on the bus and just get familiar with the surroundings and figuring out where all the seats were and everything. I think it's just keeping up the conversation with them has helped to keep us in the loop and make sure that we're making any changes we can, especially with driver training and everything, to help that and make sure that customers are confident when they are travelling by bus.
And for the uninitiated, why don't you tell us what a Meet the Buses event is?
Essentially, we have a vehicle, one of the buses, parked up at the bus station, and it's not actually going anywhere. So it's just sat at the bus station, and it means that people can come along and they can practice getting on and off the bus and find out where the seats are and just, you know, sort of get familiar with the seating plan and where you need to scan your pass. And it just means that you haven't got that pressure of worrying about everyone else waiting for you, and it gives you an opportunity to feel a bit more confident, and you know, just so in future when you do get the bus and you are going somewhere, you feel like you know the layout.
That's fantastic. And just going to touch on the kind of wider scope of bus accessibility now. In a shameless plug, our Make Buses Accessible campaign recently secured a commitment from the government to move up the timescales for accessible information regulations. We had a letter from the minister, which you can read on the Sight Loss Council website, that says that the government is bringing up that regulation because it wants to encourage bus operators to invest in audible and visible information now, rather than waiting for the regulations to take effect. I just wondered, why do you think the government feels it has to do that? What are the barriers to improving AV information that operators are facing? What's kind of slowing the implementation down, do you think?
I think the main thing, and one that everyone will be aware of, is the cost. So at the moment, particularly in our area, the buses which have the AV announcements are the new buses. So obviously the cost of introducing those new buses to our fleet is significant. And as well as that, it's looking at retrofitting. So if we were to go back and look at, for example, 250 of our buses in our area, how much it would cost us to fit the AV announcements, particularly at a time when after the pandemic and bus usage is much lower than it was previously, it's very difficult. So I think the main barrier essentially is just the cost.
Right. Okay. Clearly accessibility on buses is something that is a nationwide problem. Do you think a lack of accessibility is putting off disabled passengers?
Yeah, definitely. From speaking to the different user groups, I think there's definitely an anxiety around using the bus, and I suppose especially for partially sighted and blind people. So I think AV announcements are definitely a great way to help with that.
And outside of announcements, what would be your top tips for operators to make their services more accessible for the blind and partially sighted people?
So I would say definitely get speaking to a different group. So the same way that we have our conversations with the Sight Loss Council, keep up those conversations and just find out, you know, what issues are people having, and then use that information to feed into sort of your driver training. And I think by just keeping up that conversation, you can really make a difference. So I think that would be my top tip.
That's fantastic, Natasha. Thank you very, very much. And thank you for joining us.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to The Blind Spot, a podcast from Thomas Pocklington Trust. If you'd like to find out more about what we do at TPT, check out our website. Go to www.pocklington-trust.org.uk. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss the next episode. Thank you for listening.